I say,
said a voice in the darkness. Petracci pressed herself still further into the corner.
Look, I've come to rescue you.
Now she could make out a blacker shadow in the flare light. It stepped forward with rather more uncertainty than she would have expected from a demon.
Are you coming or not?
It said.
I've only knocked out the guards. It's not their fault, but we haven't got a lot of time. I'm to be thrown to the crocodiles in the morning, whispered Petracci. The king himself decreed it. He probably made a mistake.
Petracci's eyes widened in horrified disbelief.
The Soul Eater will take me, she said. Do you want it to?
Petracci hesitated.
Well then,
said the figure, and took her unresisting hand. He led her out of the cell, where she nearly tripped over the prone body of a guard.
Who is in the other cells?
He said, pointing to the line of doors along the passage.
I don't know, said Petracci. Let's find out, shall we?
The figure touched a can to the bolts and hinges of the next door and pushed it open. The flare from the narrow window illuminated a middle-aged man seated cross-legged on the floor.
I'm here to rescue you,
said the demon. The man peered up at him.
Rescue? He said.
Yes. Why are you here?
The man hung his head.
I spoke blasphemy against the king.
How did you do that?
I dropped a rock on my foot. Now my tongue is to be torn out.
The dark figure nodded sympathetically.
A priest heard you, did he?
He said.
No, I told a priest. Such words should not go unpunished,
said the man virtuously.
We're really good at it, Tepic thought. Mere animals couldn't possibly manage to act like this. You need to be a human being to be really stupid.
I think we ought to talk about this outside, he said. Why not come with me?
The man pulled back and glared at him.
You want me to run away? He said.
Seems a good idea, wouldn't you say?
The man stared into his eyes, his lips moving silently. Then he appeared to reach a decision.
Guards!
He screamed. The shout echoed through the sleeping palace. His would-be rescuer stared at him in disbelief.
Mad! Tepic said. You're all mad!
He stepped out of the room, grabbed Petracci's hand, and hurried along the shadowy passages. Behind them, the prisoner made the most of his tongue while he still had it, and used it to scream a stream of imprecations.
Where are you taking me?
Said Petracci, as they marched smartly around a corner and into a pillar-barred courtyard. Tepic hesitated. He hadn't thought much beyond this point.
Why do they bother to bolt the doors?
He demanded, eyeing the pillars. That's what I want to know. I'm surprised you didn't wander back to your cell while I was in there.
I don't want to die,
she said quietly.
Don't blame you. You mustn't say that. It's wrong not to want to die.
Tepic glanced up at the roof around the courtyard and unslung his grapnel.
I think I ought to go back to my cell,
said Petracci, without actually making any move in that direction.
It's wrong even to think of disobeying the king.
Oh, what happens to you then?
Something bad,
she said vaguely.
You mean worse than being thrown to the crocodiles or having your soul taken by the Soul Eater,
said Tepic, and caught the grapnel firmly on some hidden ledge on the flat roof.
That's an interesting point,
said Petracci, winning the Tepic Award for clear thinking.
Worth considering, isn't it?
Tepic tested his weight on the cord.
What you're saying is, if the worst is going to happen to you anyway, you might as well not bother anymore,
said Petracci.
If the Soul Eater is going to get you whatever you do, you might as well avoid the crocodiles. Is that it? You go up first, said Tepic. I think someone's coming. Who are you?
Tepic fished in his pouch. He'd come back to Djeli an eon ago with just the clothes he stood up in, but they were the clothes he'd stood up in throughout his exam. He balanced a number two throwing knife in his hand, the steel glinting in the flare light. It was possibly the only steel in the country. It wasn't that Djeli Baby hadn't heard about iron, it was just that if copper was good enough for your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, it was good enough for you. Nah, the guards didn't deserve knives. They hadn't done anything wrong. His hand closed over the little mesh bag of caltraps. These were a small model, a mere 1 inch per spike. Caltraps didn't kill anyone, they just slowed them down a bit. One or two of them in the sole of the foot induced extreme slowness and caution in all except the terminally enthusiastic.